You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome back to the Rangers Rabble post-match reaction after it finished at Ibrox. Rangers 1, Motherwell 2. Deflating, disaster. It was not fantastic, was it? It was one of, I mean, in my opinion, the worst performance I've seen, certainly under Clermont, but you'd struggle to pick a Michael Beale performance out worse than that, if I'm completely honest. It was dreadful today. Listen, I know the other side of the city are going to have their moment today and they're going to be gloating and we're just going to have to deal with that. That's what it is. I know it's hard not to go over the top because I've already been going over the top in chats and stuff like this. But I'm also trying to have a tiniest bit of perspective that when you remember the old days of the title races, it did to and fro. It's not over yet. Still on our hands, of course. But Davey, and welcome Davey first, but that was just the only thing I could genuinely say about that is Motherwell fully deserved 3 points, as atrocious as that sounds.
Cheers for the welcome, Stu. I totally agree with you. You know, very disappointing, but Motherwell did deserve it. And see, to be honest with you, they could have had more than the 2 goals that they did get. You know, they had some great chances in the game. You know, they struck the bar. And it's a very disappointing all-round performance. I felt we were very inept and played within ourselves. Don't get me wrong, there was some criminal defending throughout the game. There was obviously some poor refereeing decisions that influenced it, but I expect the Rangers team at home in Motherwell to, you know, dominate the ball and dominate every second ball. And see, for me today, we were second to every second ball. And that's just inexcusable when you're in a title race and you're at home in a must-win game against a bottom six side. Has to be better than that.
Yeah, sorry about that. Just moving the washing out of the way. Apologies. I think, and listen, we're going to come onto the game and we'll try and break it down a little bit, as much as we can stand. But one thing we were speaking a little bit backstage about, the struggle we seem to have, and listen, we were full of praise in the week for a team that showed the mentality that we've not seen in a long time from a Rangers squad, that were playing poor at a hard place to go and still getting the win. Listen, sometimes you have back-to-back poor games, but today, obviously, it wasn't to be. For me, there were more worries today than there were at Kilmarnock, because I felt some of the possession we gave up, some of the way, and I said this to Martin earlier as well, when Motherwell countered, it wasn't a direct counter. There was 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 passes in between our back line and we couldn't get close to them. So that was obviously a big worry. But we were speaking backstage about how we tend to struggle with physicality up top. And Bear's obviously a big boy and he's a good player. And you know, he's probably going to get a better move from his performances this season. But this is a worry going forward, isn't it? Because a lot of this league is built on physicality. And, you know, we've got to go to a poor Libby side, but Yengi, Nuble, these players, it becomes a worry that, I don't know, I'm worried every time the ball goes forward because, A, we can't get near them, and B, like, I think at one point, Goldson just bounced off Bear at one point and he's gone and Bear's off on his track. So it's a big worry going forward how, you know, we've got what we've got, how we deal with the physicality up front.
Yeah, and you know, as luck would have it, you asked me before the game about the back four and how settled it was. And, you know, I said, you know, he'll probably keep it the same. Well, I certainly think that there'll be some changes against certain teams coming now. You make a key point there in regards to physicality, to be honest with you. The incident with Goldson in the second half when he goes down holding his face with Bear, I don't know how many times Motherwell caught us 3v2 in key positions today and should have absolutely punished us but didn't. You know, Connor Goldson would have been lucky to find himself in a Rangers jersey again had Motherwell scored for that incident, you know, when he went down holding his face, because the whole fan base would have chastised them for that. That's just unbecoming a Rangers player for me. You don't do that, especially when you know the vice, when you are the vice captain of the club. You know, you've got to show, you know, a level of, you know, professionalism, but, you know, a mentality to fight. You know, if you go down, you go down fighting, but to go and play act and hold your face, you know, kid on that you've been hurt, that's just pathetic for me. That's him giving up the chase before the chase even starts. And, you know, that's inexcusable for any Rangers player. In terms of your point, when it comes to, you know, physicality, the pairing of Suter and Goldson do seem to struggle with the physical battle. You know, when teams have the ball and teams try and play, then the two of them can go on the ball and make things happen. Suter likes to come out and play, and Goldson likes to stretch things with a long diagonal. But today, you know, when it was a battle, the two of them were found wanting. And obviously, Leon Balogun hasn't really played much at all, in fact, since he's had the mask. And maybe that's come into Clermont's thinking about no starting him. But when it's a physical battle against jobber teams, let's be honest with you, that really have only one plan, which is to hit the big boy up top and look to get bodies round about him, it maybe be better to look at Balogun in games like this when this is going to be the issue.
Yeah, absolutely. And as I say, we're going to come onto the game and go through some of the moments, but we've got some super chats to get through. So, what did I see? Charles, £5. Thank you very, very much, Charles. Not good enough, no excuses. Connor was saying that Kelly playing bad the other day forgets that clubs raise a game against us. Charles, we would literally saying backstage that Liam Kelly and Bevis Mugabe and Paul McGinn turned into, you know, prime tally in defence. In particular, Kelly, Davey, we know he's a good shot stopper. He showed some frailties in the game, I think. Misjudged the flight of the ball a few times, which I thought we would capitalise on. But his shot stopping, especially at the end, the double save, you come to expect it, but it's just so, so frustrating when you see a defence that switched on at the end. And, you know, is it a defence that becomes more switched on just against us, or is it the fact that, once again, we can't take clear-cut chances?
I don't know. I think the amount of natural-born Celtic supporters that were in the back line had a thing to do with that today as well. But see, to be fair, Liam Kelly is for the, you know, the Rangers Academy under Jim Stewart, the sort of Alan McGregor following Stefan Kloss mold. They tend to be great shot stoppers. That tends to be, you know, the thing that they're renowned for. And certainly had a couple of great stops late in the game. But, you know, Mugabe, McGinn, even Dan Casey, they were all throwing themselves in front of everything. But the thing that annoyed me was that when the ball broke, it was the Motherwell players that then reacted. You know, there was a chance where Fabio Silva challenged for it and Roof was trying to get on the end of it, and you were looking for your midfielders like your Diamandé, your Lundstroms, your Sterlings to be there. But we just stood off it, and Motherwell players were the first to react. And again, you know, that's just not how we've been playing recently. And I will allude to this. I do think that Cortez was a massive miss today in terms of how we play, you know, because when a team's got a low block and they're playing five right across the back, you need someone to unlock the spaces who can go on the inside, who can go on the outside, you know, who can drive at players but can look to link the play. look to play in pockets, and we didn't have that. And because we had a natural fullback in one wing and a wide player playing in the wrong side, I think that heavily impacted us today.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with that. Grant McRoberts, another massive super chat there. Thank you very much, £10. Old days, we didn't, probably alluding to my point, old days, we didn't have cereal bottlers. That's the difference. We have the same bottlers for about 5 years or more. Things don't change when you have the players with the same mindset. What do you think on that then, Davey? Because I think we've rooted out a couple of these bottlers. Listen, it's going to be hard. You're always going to get the people that say the same thing when you know, Tavernier and Goldson have been part of, you know, a team that have failed quite a lot, but also a team that have delivered a trophy this season. And you know, 3 days ago we were saying that the mentality had completely shifted, and they've got the stones to go on and sort of rid those old demons. Do you think that's a fair comment? Do you think there's still going to be surgery in the summer? I think we know that, but do you think this team, as of now, after this game, do you think that they have the mindset now to go on and put another, you know, 8-9 win run together, including some massive, massive old firms?
Well, only time will tell. I hope they will, but the jury remains out on that, I'm afraid. I can't say that with any great certainty that we will. I hope we will, and I hope we respond in the right manner. But there's big questions been asked of the players now, and now is the time for them to deliver. They cannot afford any more slip-ups, and we've got a trip to Parkhead to come between now and the end of the season. And again, we can't lose that game now, so we've put that pressure upon ourselves, and we will need to see. What I thought in terms of mentality, what I'll question today is a guy like Nico Raskin, who has not had a start in recent times, and due to injuries finds himself in the team today, and you're looking for a performance, you're looking for something to say, show me something where you get in the team. And unfortunately, Raskin today, if you were to ask me, you know, he'll find himself lucky to find himself with much game time between now and the end of the season, because for me, he was a total passenger. The game bypassed him, the pace of the game bypassed him, and I think every pass that he tried to make was just, you know, in the wrong area of the pitch, but he also surrendered the possession to Motherwell. And I just felt the balance wasn't right between him and Lundstrom. I don't think Lundstrom knew where to be in the pitch and pick the ball up. The two of them were getting in each other's roads. And for me, just, you know, I'm expecting better. You know, there was a lot said about Raskin before he came, and Michael Beale certainly praised him while he was here for the last 6 months of last season, but he hasn't kicked on at all. And when you really need him, you know, to put in a performance, he was subbed at halftime today.
Yeah, no, I think that's a fair point. And for someone that showed such promise in that first sort of 6 month period, the fall off has been absolutely incredible. Kazic Loyal, 199, thank you very, very much. Same shape backs, different year. Yeah, can't argue too much. Although, listen, we've dragged ourselves back into this this title race from whatever it was, 7-8 points behind. There's frailties in both the old firm sides. It's not, you know, I see people in the comments and I can completely understand them saying like that they're going to run us ragged in that. And listen, I fully expect them to go on a little run now. They're going to have the bit between their teeth, but there's still a way to go. It's not over. We trust in Philip Dumont. We trust what he's doing. He won't, you know, I can guarantee that this is not going to be something that he's going to be happy about, is it? So I fully expect him to be going through that team now and letting them know how unacceptable that is. That said, Davey, it did feel like, and listen, I think we were pretty happy with the team considering injuries today. In hindsight, it did feel a bit like it didn't work, did it? It was a bit unbalanced. Sterling will give you everything, but I think certainly from the start out wide, probably not going to be the answer. If you know, obviously Cortez looks like he's going to be out for time. It's going to be a while until we get Seema back. I didn't think Fabio Silva misses a ridiculous chance, which we'll come to, but I thought Fabio Silva gave us a bit more impetus when he come on. I think you need just that little bit more creativity for Sterling. And I'm not going to, you know, slate the guy because he's playing a position he's not experienced in, but it felt like he was waiting for other people to come and give him the help as opposed to going for it himself at times.
Yeah, and he also missed a sitter in the second half when John Lundstrom slid him through. So, unfortunately, that was just the way it was going today. But I felt there was a distinct lack of penetration, and that's probably because there wasn't natural width on both sides. As I said earlier, when you had a fullback in the right-hand side and then you were playing a wide player in his wrong side, I don't think Ross McCausland is a particularly, you know, penetrating type of winger. He doesn't look to, you know, run at players all the time. I think he plays his best stuff when he comes inside the pitch and he looks to play that key pass that way. But every time he goes to hit the byline, as I said pre-match, you know, he's never found looking up. He just sort of hits and hopes and drills it first time. So looking at the bench, we really only had two options, which were Silva, who came on and played wide left and did okay, but again, I think you could tell it wasn't his natural position, and the other wide player was Scott Wright, and that's what I was saying. I know there was a comment from Finn Fogle earlier in regards to, you know, how do you miss Cortez? But the reason you miss Cortez is because he's a natural wide player who runs at players, who commits. You know, it was a huge miss to how we've been playing. You know, he links well with the 10, he comes inside, he covers his fullback when his fullback goes, he does the hard yards going back the way. You know, he's been an integral part to how we've been playing recently, and the balance just wasn't quite right with him missing today. You can get away with, you know, a Sterling on one side, but you need to have the balance right, and as you said, it just wasn't there today. And we've got a distinct lack of wide players, natural wide players missing. When you look at Matondo, Sima, now Cortez, you wonder if that's going to be a problem issue and what Clement's going to do to solve that. Because if he doesn't find the answer, I think you're going to see, you know, performances like today, and we need to find another way to win.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I'm trying to come to the games. I'm trying to come to the big moments in the game, but there's some great points coming in. There's super chats coming in. I'll bring up the super chat first. Charles, again, by the way. Thank you so much, Charles. £5. We ain't butlers. The squad needs improving in the summer, but we've got a title challenge just for now, if I can get my words out. And listen, I think this is bang on, Davey, because, listen, I'm expecting some comments to come through from the other. I mean, I don't know why I don't go and watch opposition pods, win or lose, so I don't really get it, but sure, if that's your thing. And I've seen come through like the Clement stuff, and you know, when you bring in a manager and the injuries we've got, and we've taken more points since he's been in than they have, it seems a weird stance to take. But Charles, I think, is bang on it. Regardless of today's shot, and it's a bad one, and this can't happen again. Not just the result, because freak results can happen. That performance cannot happen again, because that was a shambles. But even if they go and win tomorrow, it's going to be a tough game. I expect them to win. Like I said, I think they're going to have the bit between the teeth. But even that would put us a point behind. We've still got two Old Firms. There's going to be some big games coming up. The title challenge is still well and truly on, and that doesn't change after one game.
Yeah, it's still there. But as we were saying earlier, there can be no slip-ups now. And now is the real test in the mentality, because we were on a high riding a crest of a wave recently, you know, and I think that the turnaround on Wednesday was a massive shot in the arm, the confidence of the supporters, because we thought, right, that's a hard test, away in a plastic pitch. If you were expecting to drop something somewhere, you were expecting it to come there. And for it to come at home to a Motherwell side who, let's not forget, are the top scorers outside Rangers and Celtic for the other clubs in the top league, you know. The warning signs were there, and they were there from the first 2 minutes of play today, and we just didn't heed the warning defensively. I think collectively the back four was really poor, but in particular Goldson and Suter were shocking. I thought Goldson was the worst player in the pitch, and then Tav isn't he aware of where Dan Casey is for their second goal. So just all round, it was just really disappointing. And, you know, I think this has raised questions for the manager. I think, you know, I certainly think anything, you know, that's a derogatory or disparaging remark towards the manager is just, you know, totally off the mark at the moment. He's the guy that's helped us get where we are. You know, it's up to the players now to take on a bit more responsibility and them to help find the answers to, you know, make sure that we get this title challenge back on track, rather.
Yes, absolutely. And I've got a comments start, because I want to come to it when we get to that point in the game. We are going to go through a little bit of it. Bit of a slow start, to be honest, Davey. Motherwell, I think, I don't know what happened, but they looked to be growing in confidence very, very early in the game, and whether Kettlewell just had them set up right. He obviously targeted certain areas of the pitch, which we mentioned, them getting a lot of sort of free reign of the ball in those areas. But the first goal is sort of this lumped ball down the sort of right-hand side. It just sort of skips over Yilmaz. I don't think Yilmaz can make that. John Suter seems to think he can make that. And it's one of those, it's like that defensive moment of when you go through two-on-one for me and you know, you've got that open goal square tapping. If you're shooting instead of tapping, like making someone the open goal, you have to score. And for me in this defensive moment, if you're not standing off there to let your other defence come in, you have to make that ball if you're going to jump in front of the guy. He gets in front of the Motherwell guy, completely misses it, falls over. And listen, other things happen there because he's still got to put it back. It's a good finish from Bear right into the corner. But, you know, again, he's all on his own in the box. And it's just, it wasn't the start we wanted, but just the way it came about in terms of more poor defending. And it feels like we cause a lot of our own problems.
Well, the first 10, 15 minutes of the game, we couldn't handle Jack Vale at all. And he was stretching the game down our left-hand side and Motherwell's right-hand side. And the ball off over the top, the long diagonal, and then the flick on from Bear, it was really causing us trouble. And our centre-halves were getting stretched, coming out to the back. And I think that's what surprised me, because when we looked at the team lineup before the game, I thought Sterling was going to play on the left-hand side and McCausland was going to play on the right. And I thought Sterling would have been there to support Yilmaz, because I thought he would have played Sterling on Stephen O'Donnell just out of physicality reasons. And I think that's why perhaps Motherwell got a lot of joy in the first half, because again, defensively, it's no McCausland's greatest part of his play, and he's kind of light physically as well. But, you know, the cutback is bad enough to go unchallenged. But for the three guys in the middle of the park, when the ball runs under Suter, the Goldson, Lundstrom, and is it Tav is the other guy, the three of them are just standing watching it, and none of them react. And for me, that is what I mean as a bit of prime example about Rangers not reacting to setting balls today. That was the prime example in the first goal there, and it's just not acceptable. When you know, you can't keep making things hard for yourself. We got away with it on Wednesday when we come back for giving away, you know, all right, be it a harsh penalty, but going down 1-0, but you can't do it every game. As you keep finding out, you'll get found out eventually. And I thought it was just a sign of what was to come, unfortunately.
Yep, and Mark Webster, thank you so much. Super chats have been absolutely crazy already. £2 from Mark Webster. And basically, again, what you're saying there, David, poor position in the six-yard box for a dangerous ball. Just bang on, isn't it? I sort of agree what you're saying there as well, that it's almost like the flat-footedness of our defenders at time. They're not waiting for a ball. They're not ready for a ball. They're just standing there, like, expecting it. And listen, we'll probably come to it again for the second goal. But absolutely bang on, Mark. Can't argue with any of that at all. And for a second, we had Martin back, but maybe he's had to wind the internet back up to try and charge that up. Moving on, I don't know what moment it was in. Was it about 20 minutes in, I think? There's a ball sort of breaks into the middle of the pitch, about 30 yards from our goal. McCausland goes in, was it Dan Casey, I think he goes in with? And, I mean, the ball absolutely flies in, and it's not got no problem with a fast, hard challenge, if it's fair. Absolutely no problem with it. It looked, the moment McCausland went down, it looked a sore one. It looked maybe a bit dangerous. But the ref saw nothing, and this became a common theme going on. The replay comes out. Welcome, Martin, as well. The replay is shown after, and I mean, he nicks the ball away a little bit because the ball changes direction, but the follow-through, the high foot, Davey, do you have any idea why Alamir is not sent to the monitor for that?
Well, not sent to the monitor, but not even he give a yellow card in the incident to let play go on, and it's not even looked at. You know, I find incredulous, because I compare it to challenges that you've seen gone by this year, and we've seen Dujon Sterling get sent off for a red card challenge where he made contact with the top of somebody's toe you know, and his foot wasn't high off the ground. You know, it was the force of the challenge. So you need to think, is it reckless or is it dangerous? Well, for me, it's dangerous because it injured the player. So, you know, it's a red card challenge. It might be, and it's fair enough, if the referee had gave him a yellow card, then I think, funnily enough, it might have went to review. But see, because the referee did not even book him for the incident, I just find absolutely astonishing because it's a shocking tackle. And you know, Alan Muir is the guy who refereed us at home to St Johnstone. And I think there was a tackle by, was it DJ for St Johnstone, who he decided to book when you could see it was a straight red all day. And actually, it was a similar tackle to that challenge that actually happened today. And again, that's just the standard, the officiating in this league. It's poor all round.
Yes, we've got Martin. Martin, welcome. What sort of... How have we got your presence? Are you jumping in? Are you hosting? Are you answering questions?
My internet is still cutting in and out, so I'm just going to basically... Clement has spoke to the media, but it's not available in audio yet. As soon as it is, obviously, we'll get it to you. But I just wanted to bring you from Heart and Hand on Twitter, just what they have put very quickly for you to discuss, and then I will jump back off. Philip Clement has said, we didn't start well. We made mistakes at the back when we were punished. Now I am getting to see who the guys are who will stand up after a disappointment. And then he went on to say, Ross was kicked off the pitch. When I see red cards we have had, and I see that today, I don't understand.
Thank you very much, Martin. I mean, it's... Listen, you want honesty from your manager, David. I'm sure as we get the full interview, he'll go into more about the performance today and how it's unacceptable. But I think he's bang on and sort of just... going off what you said there, it felt like, and we're going to come to it more, this is starting to feel, and it's not just Rangers games I'm seeing this in, but it feels to me that VAR is becoming such a problem in the sport, and I think it's something that should be utilised. VAR, I'm not against VAR, I think it needs to be used right, but it's VAR's getting decisions wrong when it's being called in a lot. But the flip side of it is that referees are now letting VAR ref their games. They're not making initial decisions. Like you said, I think if he gives a yellow card, he maybe gets sent over to look at upgrading that. But the fact he doesn't give it at all, they can't undermine into a red card. It was the same all game. And I don't want to reflect too much on a poor performance from the referee because we've lost. And it always seems like sour grapes when you do. But, you know, we'll come to it on the penalty. He's not given the initial decision. I don't believe that he's seen that challenge on McCausland and he's seen that penalty firsthand, and both times it's gone, nah, not for me. Nothing in that at all. It baffles me that these officials now are almost saying, well, I'm not going to make the decision now because I don't want the backlash from the decision. I'll let it go. And if it's that bad, VAR will tell me that it was wrong.
No, I think you're spot on. We saw that a couple of weeks ago at St Johnstone when Matthew McDermott, you know, you could tell in his face that he knew they were penalty incidents, but he just didn't want to know because he wanted the security blanket for somebody else to make the decision. And I think that's happening far too often in Scottish football. But, I mean, today, Alan Muir's performance, I thought, was poor for both teams, to be honest. He just disrupted the game. But I think a few key decisions certainly went against us. But Rangers were poor, you know, and that's the important thing about that. The result, you know, regardless of the referee today, would have still been the same because, you know, Rangers have been asking for everything from everyone, but we didn't get that from the players today, and I think that's something that they need to take on board themselves. However, the thing that I thought was strange at the penalty incident was Alan Muir, obviously. He booked Stephen O'Donnell for the shove on Diamandé. Now, I didn't think there was a lot in it, but he's raised his hands and Diamandé's made the most of it and fell to the ground. He's booked him for that. If he then goes to give the penalty, how can he not book him for the challenge? Because he studs her up off the ground, he follows through and he takes the man out. It's a penalty all day long. It's just, again, another bizarre bit of decision-making in Alan Muir's performance today.
Yeah, and this is the source. I don't want to reflect on it too much because I can already see a couple of comments come through and say we're blaming the ref. For it's not. I said at the very start, Motherwell fully deserved this day and we were a total joke. But you've still got to call these moments out because it's becoming unacceptable and it's going to happen again in big games, which it already has. And the problem is, you know, these refs are so protected whenever they're questioned. You know, the whole asking for the audio thing, I know, was back then. But again, it's almost like you can't dare to question them. And I think they do need questioning because standards have to go up. And whether that's making them full time, that's a whole other subject that I'm sure people are going to have a conversation about. But it is getting beyond a joke. Silva obviously comes on for the injured Ross McCausland, baby. Immediately gets a chance, which just before the actual movement to create the chances is, you know, what you expect of someone that costs so much money, I guess. Just peels off his defender, pulls across alongside Dessers, ball lands at him. He's got so much time. And I think if you're side-footing it, you're side-footing that into a corner. Otherwise, you've got to absolutely lever that ball in the back of the net. Liam Kelly basically just collapses on his line and he can't believe his luck that this ball just ends up in his hands.
Yeah, I don't know if it was ring rust because he was just in the game, but unfortunately, I'm with you on that one, Stu. He's got to blast that and, you know, connect, put his laces through it. And if he doesn't, you know, as you said, he's got to side for it in the corner. But I just don't understand his decision-making process. And the thing is, he's got time because Dessers is occupying the centre-halves. So he's got time to think about it. And I think it was just a rush of blood to the head, you know. And that's the thing. Players in pressure moments, when you're a goal down, do you think a bit differently? If you're two or three up, you know, I kind of think it was a similar floaty ball to the one that Tav put in for Jermaine Defoe against Livingston a few years ago, that same sort of weighted ball, and it felt to him perfectly. And I just, you know, the chances that we missed today, don't get me wrong, Motherwell missed some great chances themselves. But for me today, that one there, you know, and Sterling's in the second half as well, you know, those are chances where if you're getting it on target, you've got to make the goalkeeper work. It's inexcusable to get them off target. But again, it was a powder puff effort, if we're being honest.
Yeah, absolutely. Going to half-time. Not the greatest, but, you know, it's a 45 minutes to come out and rectify the issues. We think we get a goal through Dessers. Unfortunately, he was offside, which I don't think there was any arguments there. Nothing. For once, I don't think Dessers could do anything about that offside. He has to go and challenge, and he's just unfortunate that the ball basically lands for you. Was it Sterling? I think I can't remember who it was in the air. If he could have just headed that straight in, that would have been perfect. We get the penalty. And again, another thing on the whole VAR scenarios is I don't know why this takes so long to even send the ref to the, like, it's, they've got the angles. For me, it was enough to send the ref over.
If you're taking 4 minutes for, you know, to make a decision about it, then surely that you do think that there's a clear and obvious error there. If you're deliberating it for that long, that length of time, just make the ref go and look at it. 60 seconds, if you think it's worth having a look at, 60 seconds and then make them look at it. Why there was 4 minutes, I do not understand that at all.
No. And like you said, in amongst all this is a bit of scrimmage with O'Donnell and Diamande. Like you say, Diamande goes down a bit easily there. The ref books him. Didn't really think that was a booking, if I'm completely honest. Don't think either of them needed to get involved. That said, once he's booked, I'm baffled that O'Donnell was not booked for the penalty incident. And if I'm honest, I think if he's not booked in that little incident, he gets booked for the penalty incident. And I think that's as simple as that, which again, just beggars belief, some of the refereeing, but I'm not going to reflect on that too much. And it's probably about the fourth time I've said that. But James Tavernier steps up. Genuinely, I thought we missed this penalty. It reminded me, I was at the Dortmund one. It was one in Europe when we went to the final. And it goes so far into the net, it almost looks like he skies it. But it's a fantastic penalty. And I mean, from this, you got to think that we're going on and seeing the 3 points.
Absolutely. You know, his penalties in recent weeks have been outstanding. You know, to hit it in the sort of roof of the net, the keeper's sort of top right-hand corner. I don't know if, obviously, because Liam Kelly was at the club at the same time as Tav, you don't know if, you know, there's a bit of kidology there and he knows how to take penalties and he knows how he sort of, you know, prepares himself for them. I think Kelly's a bit of the McGregor school like that and tries to use intimidation factor and maybe Tav just had the upper hand there, but outstanding penalty. But from there, you're expecting us to kick on. I thought with Lawrence on. And what was strange for me is what's been working for us in recent weeks is the fact that Diomande was playing beside John Lundstrom. I thought that looked comfortable and that was the right balance. When Tom Lawrence came on, I was expecting Tom Lawrence to go in the 10 because that's where I think you get the best out of Tom Lawrence. He likes key passes in and around the edge of the box. He likes to follow in. And you find him not scared to have a shot. When he's playing as the eight, I think he's too deep to get involved with the play. If you want the best of Tom Lawrence, you want him in and around the box. And I felt that was just a wee tweak I was expecting Clement to make. So I think that's partly why we didn't kick on. And I think Diomande, although he had a couple of sort of neat and tidy touches at times, he was unlucky with that improvised effort in the first half as well. I think he's a natural eight, and I think that's where the balance is good with him in beside Lundstrom, because Lundstrom's your ball winner, gives it to Diomande, and he goes and makes things happen and looks to link with the 10. For me, when Lawrence came on, he was just too deep to get involved.
Yeah, and I think it comes back to your earlier point of, you know, when we were getting the ball into good areas, the midfield just aren't there to follow up on the chances. And I think if you've got Lawrence Hart at the pitch, he's going to be sniffing around every single... The amount of times Motherwell cleared either corners or crosses, but not great clearances, just to the edge of the box, and there would be another Motherwell player waiting to then move it further down the pitch. It was frustrating, to say the least. Couple of chances come our way. Nothing really, really clear-cut. But in terms of Motherwell, I'd probably thought they were probably creating the better chances. You know, before our goal, Spittle hits the crossbar. After that, there's a couple of times where Bear pretty much ragdolls Goldson. We have the moment where Goldson goes down Horner's face, which we've touched on. It was one of those ones where we were clearly living on the edge. We were going to have to push for a goal, obviously, but the goal that we then concede is, wow, just the defender before the cross, to be honest, is a joke. We can't clear our lines, and it was a common theme throughout the second half. We could not clear our lines. We could not get a ball. Just reminded me of a year, 2 years ago, where we just couldn't seem to get rid of a ball when we were in a dangerous situation. Ball ends up out on the right. I think it's Spittle, who's obviously having a fantastic season, puts it to the back post, and Dan Casey heads it in, who probably shouldn't be on the pitch, in all honesty. What were your thoughts on the goal itself? I mean, it's poor marking again. I think Tav at first, I thought maybe had to tuck in, but then looking back, he probably doesn't need to tuck in. He's not really aware. And then maybe Butland maybe can do better. I don't want to put too much blame at his door for those, but it's those ones that I think maybe because his level's been so high, you're not expecting him to concede a goal like that.
Yeah, I think, see the problem that you're alluding to there, Stu, with the momentum and the pressure was coming for us to concede the corner. It's because, for me, the balance wasn't right down the left-hand side. I don't know if you think, but Ridvan was a bit more reserved today, a bit deeper. Ridvan makes things happen the higher he is up in the pitch and when he's allowed to go. And I think because McCausland was playing there in the first half and then Silva came on, I don't think Silva does the hard yards going back, and McCausland's not the best at it. So I think Ridvan was even playing within himself. And because of that, it was 2v1 too often at times, especially in the first half, in the first 20, 25 minutes. And then in the second half, once we get the equaliser, we seem to drop off again, drop off 5, 10 yards deeper, where we had Motherwell pinned. You know, just in the lead up to us getting the penalty, we then dropped off the minute the goal came, whereas we should have kept that pressure on. And then they had two or three great chances in that a sort of 10, 15 minute passage of play. And then when the ball comes in, as you say, the defending's poor, but we're ball watching, because let's face it, Tav looks over his left shoulder when it's too late and Dan Casey's there to put the ball back in. And I think, you know, Tav has defended well recently, and don't get me wrong, you know, the two centre-halves and Lundstrom, for me, are at fault for the first goal as well. But again, you know, that is just the one thing that cross balls we seem to struggle with. You know, if you look at the amount of goals that we've lost this year, it's balls over the top or cross balls. You know, there hasn't been too many world-class goals against us this season. It's just basics, and you expect better from us, especially with the sort of clean sheet record we've had since the turn of January. And I just feel that there was a distinct lack of organisation and people looking to take responsibility today in the Rangers team.
Yeah, absolutely. We push on. We knew there was going to be a big chunk added on because of the VAR call that took 4 minutes. We get 8 minutes, and you're thinking, if we can get one early, we can see where we're going. Then it's getting more and more, and then you're thinking, can we just get one? Can we just rescue a draw? We have plenty of chances. Liam Kelly pulls off a couple of good saves. I know people are saying they're right at them, but he was sort of out of position, I think, when he makes those saves. So whether he should be out of position is another question, but I think he makes a couple of good saves there. The one that Roof misses, whether that's a bit of rust, he's, you know, there's not much time to think about it, but it's Kemar Roof. You sort of think that he's going to put those away. The Goldson one, it's criminal for me. It's criminal to not hit the target. I mean, you can praise the Motherwell defending. They were out to block balls. McGinn had one headed off the line. But Goldson, I mean, we had two against Kilmarnock as well. He's got to hit the target, baby.
Especially with the level of performance that he had, Stu. This was probably his worst performance in a Rangers jersey this season for me. It was absolutely shocking. Defensively, you know, he was under pressure with Bear throughout the 90 minutes. And as you say, he was ragdolled, not just in one or two occasions, on four or five occasions. You know, it was really, really poor today. And that's a gilt-edged opportunity. You know, it's a free header, unchallenged, in the centre of the goal. He must hit the target. If he hits the target, he scores. And honestly, that's when you knew it wasn't going to go our way, because you're never going to get as chance as clear as that. And, you know, we had the one with Sterling as well, and he's got to hit the target and make the goalkeeper work. And it's just the way it was going for us. We were really poor today. And I think Goldson, kind of, I fully expect him to play against Benfica midweek. But Goldson could have no qualms if he was dropped on the back of that today, because that sort of level of performance for a team that is going to try and challenge to win the league title is unacceptable for a player. You know, if that had been Tav, if that had been anybody else in the team, they would have been, you know, berated by everyone. And I think you can run out of chances. And for me, it's a regular occurrence, as we spoke earlier, when it's physical presence, we're just right up against it with the combination of Goldson and Suter. And Goldson, for me, is a big, strong guy, but he doesn't use his physicality well. He always positions himself wrong side. He's got to look, you know, to show the attacker for Motherwell, Bear or Vale, whoever it was, doing, you know, his right-hand side, but their left-hand side. And for me, it was just piss poor.
Yeah, no, can't really argue with that. I'm glad I might just brought up the comment there from Super Sal, saying Clement will learn from this. I didn't want to say this out loud because I know I'm going to get slaughtered for it. But tin hat on. This could be a good thing, baby, right? Because that cannot happen again. And I think Clement will know a lot about the team from that performance. And it's, like I say, I've remembered plenty of title races in the past where I thought it's all over and then they drop points to Inverness out of nowhere. It's these moments happen in title races. But that level of performance, you can get unlucky. That level of performance cannot happen. And Clement's got to make sure. And listen, you know, you've got to feel for Clement in a way, in terms of, you know, I've been a bit hypocritical, not hypocritical, a bit critical of his team selections in the past two games. That said, he's working with what he's got at times. We've got a lot of injuries. You know, Cortez and Seymour would have been perfect players today to go up against aging fullbacks. We don't have them. We have to make do with what we got. That said, it was poor. And the fact that Motherwell have come here and it's not like they've smashed and grabbed it. They've fully deserved it. They could have probably scored a few more. Can't happen again. But, I mean, are you confident, David, that Clement's going to make sure that it doesn't happen again?
Well, the one person's mentality I don't question is Clement. What I think he might come under pressure now for is the tinkering. You know, Claudio Ranieri, he got away with it for a season at Leicester and then got drastically found out. So I think he's got to find a formula. He's not helped with the injury crisis that we've got, especially in wide positions. So it is kind of like square pegs and round holes. And I think the wide players are key to, you know, how we play. If we've got a natural winger, you know, you see we're much more quicker in tempo. We look to penetrate quicker. You know, the 10's heavily involved when, you know, we play with natural width. And when we don't have that natural width, you can see that we're more regressed, we're more static, we're more pedestrian in our passing. And, you know, there is a bit of a drop-off. You know, if you were looking at that today, you would have thought that was Michael Beale's Rangers, because that was just the level of the performance. It was just so slow at times. And we were looking for answers, and we never had any. Hopefully, you know, our injuries are going to come back and we can find sort of a solution. But failing that, you might find them changing the formation ever so slightly to adapt, because I'm not sure what the answer is if we've still got Sima, Matondo and Cortez out. But, you know, he's got to find the answer somehow. And that's a big, big question mark over him going forward.
Yep, CGM, it's out of our hands again now until the next old Ferb. Mentally today was massive. Like I said, don't know. We don't know what's going to happen. There's a big game tomorrow. Fully expecting to win, but you don't know. But if not, then yeah, the old Ferb becomes so massive. And it's going to be massive regardless. It's going to be massive if you're 2 points ahead. It's going to be massive if you're a point behind. Obviously, it's better being 2 points ahead, but we'll see where it goes from here. Mark Doyle, again, another £2 super chat from Mark Doyle. Have been superb today. Rule number one as defender, show the attacker away from goal. I mean, I don't think Goldson, the only person who went away from goal, it felt to me, Davey, when Bear came in anyway, was Goldson.
Yeah, Stu, I mean, if you're losing the battle, you know, physically, then, you know, you've got to sort of work out a way to play. And Motherwell never changed how they were played. They were always hitting their target. And the fact is, you know, we still 10 minutes to go. We were still getting caught with the ball over the top and occasions 3v2, 2v2. And it was all central to Goldson. It's like they were targeting him. I can't believe that we didn't address it. And even with a change of shape or a change of formation, even look to introduce Balogun, you know, I know it might have seemed like a strange substitution, but Goldson was getting absolutely bullied, and there was all you know, many chances for the third goal to come. And at that point, you know, that would have been inexcusable, but we were still in the game at 2-1, but we were getting caught the same way all the time. And they played right through the middle of us, which is unheard of at home. I just can't understand that. And I think Clement definitely got the team wrong today. I think he got his substitutions wrong as well, in terms of, I think, you know, whilst Lawrence was the correct substitution at halftime, as I said earlier, I think he should have come on at the 10 and Diamandé came back. I even think that he could have thought about dropping Sterling a wee bit deeper in terms of getting him involved, because I felt we were losing the midfield battle today. I felt Lennon Miller and Blair Spittle were dominating the ball, and John Lundstrom probably had his worst game in the patch since Clement came in, because he was second to every ball today as well, and that's just unheard of recently. So there's a lot of question marks at the moment. We've got to find the answers. I think the manager will use the psychology of putting this on the players, but whether we get the results or not remains down to them.
Yep, and speaking of the manager, before we start wrapping up, we have got the manager's thoughts. So I'm going to put my tin hat back on to hear what he said, because I've already seen a couple of clips of the comments, and I'm sure we're going to get them right now.
Philippe, can I just get your thoughts on that game today?
Yeah, very frustrating afternoon, because you want to start hard. You want to win this game, play good football. We didn't start well enough, and you get an early goal against. So with bad defending by players who've been doing really well last weeks, last months. So doing things that we didn't expect, and after that we created enough chances to win this game. That's the other side. We created a lot of chances today. Our expected G is more than three, almost four. What's a lot? But yeah, that's football. You have games like Hearts where we were really efficient, and out of that you scored five goals. And today it was only one, because a lot of balls saved on the goal line or by the goalkeeper with good saves, and the luck was not on our side. So we knew there would be bumps on the road. Today, this is a bump for sure, because you deserve to win this game if you look at all the stats also. But you lose the 3 points. So it's now picking up the corpses tomorrow of the players, because they gave their maximum. They gave everything. And to build towards Thursday and then the weekend again.
How big an impact do you feel that early goal had? It did seem to take the team a little bit of time to maybe find a rhythm today.
Yeah, but it has to do also in that way. You give a lot of belief to the opponent and you give them a lot of power and believe that they can stay in the game. And as long as you're not in front, they stay in the game. So it gave a lot of power to them, because we conceded that goal. So we pushed to score first, the first goal, the second goal. We kept on pushing. We had really good opportunities, but it was just not day today. But I cannot say anything about the effort that the players gave. So we need to continue doing what we've been doing. And there's not one team in the world who's winning all the games in a season, because luck is a part of football. And we need to keep on pushing to get a look on our side.
Just a word on Ross McCausland. He had to come off with a bit of a knock. How's he doing?
Yeah, he's just kicked off the pitch. Really simple. Kicked off the pitch without a fall, without a yellow or red card, nothing. Just kicked off the pitch.
And looking ahead now, you said there obviously would be bumps in the road. How do you pick the players up now heading into, like you said, what's a big game on Thursday?
Yeah, it's okay. Thursday is another story. In Europe, for sure, we're not going to be favourites in these two games against Benfica, because they're a really good squad with a really big budget also. So that's another competition. But if we speak about bumps in the road in this marathon of a season, yes, we're going to continue doing what we've been doing last couple of months and now fighting again to make a series of games with a lot of wins.
Well, there you go. I mean, there's so much to unpack there. So I'm going to very briefly touch on it and then we're going to leave it for the guys on the Monday phone-in, because I'm sure that's going to be very, very busy. But Davey, what did you make of his comments? I think a few points are well made. A few bit of a problem with, but it's always hard, I think, when you called in straight after the game. The players giving their all. I mean, if they're giving their all, they looked out on their feet, if I'm completely honest, which would be a worry for me. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, and I know he alluded to XG there, but Motherwell had some great chances as well, you know, and I don't buy into the sort of XG ethos. I like my eyes just to comment on what I'm watching, and what I saw today was an inept performance from Rangers. You know, it wasn't good enough. You know, I agree with you, Stu. I thought Motherwell were the better side. You know, I thought they cut us open too often. They cut us open probably more than any other side has this season, you know, and they bullied our centre halves. They pinned us back. I thought we lost the physical battle everywhere in the pitch today. So whilst I respect the manager, and 9 times out of 10, I think he's got it right. I think there was a couple of things that he got wrong himself today. But I get, you know, he's not going to throw his players under the bus. You know, he's want everybody to buy into everything together and keep that synergy going. But, you know, we can't afford a slip up now, and we've put that pressure on ourselves. So I think he will need to take a wee bit of responsibility for the decisions made today. But I agree with that comment there from Big Dave. That's what worried me in terms of the body language and the look in the players the longer the game went on. You know, Goldson looked defeated. You know, Lundstrom looked defeated. You know, Silva and Dessers looked defeated. I just think, you know, we've maybe just played too many games in quick succession recently. But the thing is, we're only going to play more games, so we need to find that sort of setting win quickly.
Yes, absolutely. I was a bit loath to do this, but we're going to do it anyway. So here's the captain, James Tavernier's thoughts on today's game.
James, can I just get your reaction to that game today?
Yeah, obviously, overly disappointed with the result. You know, as a team point of view, looking at our defending, at how we started the game, you know, we were, you know, not really on the front foot. We let them, you know, get into the game with a goal, and you know we made an uphill battle, but you know we still ask questions, and we obviously tried to fight until the end. But yeah, just disappointed that we conceded 2 goals, we didn't get the 3 points. But you know, there's 9 games to play, and yeah, we'll fight all the way to the end.
After getting level with that penalty in the second half, how much of it is about that balance of obviously pushing for more goals but keeping solid at the back too?
Yeah, it's obviously the fine details, because we had, you know, quite good clear chances, and you know, on another day they'll go in the back of the net, but today they didn't, and it's the fine margins where, you know, we've got to be a little bit more clinical to you know, to score our goals. But yeah, obviously we'll look back at this and, you know, move forward.
Yeah, what can the squad learn from today?
Yeah, obviously we just got to be, you know, front foot for the start of the game. You know, we can't afford to waste any minutes in games if we want to, you know, set our mark on a game. So we've got to be on the front from the very start. But yeah, just disappointed. But we'll look back on it. Plenty of games to play. We've been in a good place before this, so we just need to get back to that.
Yeah, it is, of course, the first defeat of 2024. The squad have been on a great run. How important is it to really pick up again and not dwell on this for too long?
Yeah, we can't dwell on it too long. We've got a really important midweek Europa game and then back to the league. So, yeah, we can't dwell on it one bit. We'll analyse it tomorrow when we're in, and yeah, then we'll move on and, you know, pick out the skeletons that we need to, and, you know, improve on them.
Not the worst I've ever heard from Tavernier, if I'm completely honest. I was dreading that, listening to that, if I'm completely honest. But I just think he says what everyone's thinking a lot of it. We created chances on another day, they go in. Maybe not, because I think we create a lot of chances and on most days they don't go in for some reason. You know, we have the odd one against Hearts, but we do miss so many chances, David. And listen, I'm sort of starting to wrap up now, so I'm not going to break down everything Tav said. But just on that, one thing is for sure in this title race, we cannot keep missing clear-cut chances.
No, and we're playing today without a cutting edge, if you will, and we still created, you know, chances to take something from the match. And the fact is, you know, we're kind of changing the balance. You know, one time it's Dessers, the next time it's Silva, Rufus coming back in. We need to find the right formula in terms of who the central figure is, who's going to be the 10, and who's going to be the two wide players until everybody's fit. Because at the moment, Cantwell's a big miss, Seema's a big miss, Cortez is a big miss, and you would even say Matondo is a big miss, because even if Matondo's no starting games, you like to have him on the bench for that bit of impact, because when teams tire, he's the perfect player to bring on and stretch a game. Might not always come off for him, but, you know, I think when teams tire, he's a great impact sub to have, certainly better than Scott Wright. But if Scott Wright's going to be the answer over the next couple of weeks, then I will be worried.
Absolutely. We're going to leave it there. It's listen, it's been quite cathartic, I think, to pick it through a little bit. I'm sure it's going to hit me like later on tonight, when it's really going to hit me later. But not good enough today was the general consensus. It was a poor performance. And if we've got any chance of this title, it's going to have to improve massively. They've got a big chance to pick themselves up. Benfica, you know, this is going to be a one or the other, isn't it? It's either going to knock us further down, or it could be the perfect fall for us to bounce back on. Thank you very much for joining me, Davey. We have got the Monday night phone-in, so please come back for all that, because there's going to be plenty to pick through there, and we can take all your calls and listen to all your lovely voices. I believe we've also got the Sunday Scottish football show tomorrow night. I'll double-check with Robert, but I'm pretty sure that is happening. So it's they'll pick through some of the other games, but they will, of course, we'll touch on the Rangers game, and we can at least air some more grievances there. But thank you very much for joining us. Thank you for all the super chats, and thank you for everyone that joined in. Thank you for Martin for handling all the interviews in the background. Hopefully his internet gets sorted soon. Rangers won Motherwell 2 today. We need to find some inspiration from somewhere, whether that's a 16-year-old girl that travels around the world in a boat, I don't know, but we will need it soon. Thank you very much. Podcast Network.